Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fastamai, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 29th of July. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. Have proposals to remove the bishop's vote stalled and is it likely they'll continue? Meanwhile, post-Brexit passport rule changes are still catching out some residents and the Isle of Man FA is reflecting on the recent success of the Lionesses and hopes it'll encourage growth of girls football on the island. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a line if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Well, first of all, though, let's join Simon Richardson, who has the latest news headlines. Fastamai, Simon.
Fastamai, a detailed planning application for a project to end the discharge of raw sewage into Laxey Bay is expected to be submitted in the next few days. The documentation has been prepared by Manx Utilities, which says all landowners directly impacted by the pipeline routes have been contacted to ensure they're fully aware of the plans ahead of the submission. Work to restore Ramsey's historic swing bridge to full working order is underway. The Department of Infrastructure says a contractor has been appointed and the work is expected to take 2 to 3 weeks to complete. FC Isle of Man will be taking on St Helens tonight for their first midweek game of the new North West Counties Football League season. They'll be looking to improve on Saturday's opening round draw with Litherland Remaker at the Bowl. This fixture produced 14 goals in both games last season, with tonight's hosts scoring a late winner in Merseyside. International news, and just in, the UK Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer says the UK will recognise the state of Palestine by September unless Israel takes substantive steps to end suffering in Gaza. A 3-minute silence was held in Southport to mark 1 year since 3 schoolgirls were stabbed to death. B.B. King, Elsie Dot Stankham and Alice Aguirre were murdered at a dance class. And Nigel Farage has called comments made by the Technology Secretary absolutely disgusting. Peter Kyle said the Reform UK leader's opposition to the government's online safety laws put him on the side of predators. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Jeremiah, thank you very much for that, Simon. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Mainly bright and dry this evening, then clear intervals overnight. Moderate, locally fresh northwest wind gradually decreasing overnight with minimum temperatures of around 13 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, though, will be generally dry for much of the day with brightness breaking through at times. Greater risk of showery outbreaks of rain later in the day. The light to moderate northwest wind will then gradually back to the southwest throughout the day with top temperatures of 19 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's approaching 5 minutes past five on Tuesday, the 29th of July. And it's been one of the most contentious issues of this administration. Should the bishop, an unelected member of the upper house, LegCo, keep its vote? Well, those proposals were brought forward around about a year ago. So where's it up to now? John Moss has been taking a closer look.
It went through Keys and arrived at the Clauses stage in Legco, where it was referred to a three-man committee, which became a two-man committee when Bill Henderson lost his Legco seat. But that was a year ago. Now, if a report isn't submitted to Legco before December, this bill will fail. Something that concerns its mover, Laurie Hooper.
There's been no evidence sessions. They haven't they've lost a member and haven't replaced him. It feels like the idea behind sending it to a committee was to kick this very much into the long grass. And like I said, I've not seen or heard anything in terms of any movement from Legco or from the committee on this since it was sent to the committee back in July last year, wasn't it, I think?
We'll inquire of the committee members as to what is happening, but we're rapidly going through the summer. Before you know it, we'll be in September and a year to go to the election. Is it likely to be, as you say, put in the long grass anyway, with people saying, but the election's more important, we've got to consider major issues?
The bill will time out at some point. You know, if Legco sit on it for long enough, it will time out. That's just the way of things. And then it will be a question as to whether or not it's an important enough piece of legislation to actually bring back to the Keys and ask them, do they want to take it forward, irrespective of Legco's views. I don't think we'll get there. I think Legco will do their job and bring the bill back. I mean, it would be quite a failure, I think, on the part of Legco as a branch if they don't at least finish the bill. Like, if they don't want the bill, absolutely fine, vote against it and close it down, you know. Don't send it off into a committee that doesn't seem to be doing anything.
On the now two-man committee is Rob Mercer, MLC, and Paul Crane, who I spoke to, about when this vital report from his committee would be forthcoming.
It's a report being written at the moment. I'm expecting a meeting in early September to look at that. Hugely aware that there's a number of areas the report has looked at that haven't been looked at so far. And we've perhaps been slowed down a little bit by the personal events in the life of the bishop, and it would have been inappropriate to try and push that too fast. But there's no attempt to delay it. It certainly will not run out of time in December.
John Morse reporting there, also speaking to Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper and MLC Paul Crane. Well, it's almost 7 minutes past five. Work to restore Ramsey's historic swing bridge to full working order is underway. The Department of Infrastructure says a contractor has been appointed and the work is expected to take 2 to 3 weeks to complete. Reporting now is Lewis Foster.
The bridge was closed to traffic after the discovery of a void in the asphalt on part of the road surface, which had allowed water to get in, causing a number of timbers to rot. The swing bridge was constructed in 1892 by the Cleveland Bridge and Engineering Company and is the only structure of its type on the island. The bridge deck is constructed from timber members spanning between steel sections and covered with a mastic asphalt surface. Since January, it's been closed to vehicular traffic for safety reasons, but remained open for cyclists and pedestrians. As the bridge is a registered structure, the DOI has engaged with the planning department to ensure works undertaken are in line with permitted consents. The department says the bridge is a unique asset and it remains committed to ensuring that it's maintained accordingly to ensure it's suitable for continued use for future generations. It stresses there are no plans to pedestrianise the bridge.
Lewis Foster reporting there. Thank you very much. Well, a post-Brexit passport rule change is still catching people out. Several years on, according to a local travel expert, travellers from the UK and the Isle of Man used to be able to carry up to 9 months from an old passport over into a new one, but now EU countries will not accept passports issued more than 10 years ago. Tony Lawrence from Van In Travel says there's still a lot of confusion.
A lot of people still think the passport is in date, you're good to go. But that at the moment is no longer the case, especially since Brexit. For most European countries, your passport must be less than 10 years old on the day you arrive, and it needs to be at least 3 months left after the day you leave. It sounds very simple, but it's caught a lot of people out.
Yeah, so it almost feels like the expiry date is null and void now, because your real expiry date is that, you know, several months pre that, isn't it now?
Yeah, it can be. It can be. In certain cases, it can be, yes.
And so I suppose how much confusion has this caused? I mean, have you seen it with you know, customers, you know, approaching you? Like, what's the general sense in the industry?
Well, it's caught a lot of people out. I mean, not just from the Isle of Man. I mean, this is a much broader spectrum, but it's caught a lot of people out. And they've arrived at the airport only to be told they can't fly. Now, obviously, that's just upsetting. It's also very costly, expensive, which I guess is why using somebody like us is so important, because we check all this for you.
Jumping on that, I mean, post even like COVID, have you seen more people coming back towards the industry in terms of
that
peace
of
mind?
Oh, yeah, very much so. COVID changed a lot of things. You know, we prior to COVID, we were always up against the internet, or people were coming, we've seen us on the internet, we've seen us on web, but ever since then, we don't seem to be getting as much of that anymore. You know, they're coming to us because they want to come to us, and we do, you know, try to do the complete service. And if you have any queries with regard to things like this, passports, etc., hopefully we're there to be able to, like, put your mind at ease.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
10 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update programme, and Douglas City Council has responded to criticism posted online about the expanded seating area outside the island's first Wetherspoons. Concerns were voiced that the newly named Conister Arms had placed additional seating on the Regent Street for use by customers, reducing access to Strand Street for pedestrians. However, the council has rejected the criticism and says it's actively exploring options for increasing the seating in the area. Reporting now is Simon Richardson.
A number of people had expressed discomfort over having to negotiate their route to Strand Street past people eating and drinking outside the Conister Arms. But in a statement to Manx Radio, the council says that as the local authority for the capital, we're committed to supporting businesses across the city, including those in the hospitality sector, which has faced significant challenges in recent years. Since 2021, the operators of the premises, now known as the Conister Arms, have held a licence to operate a pavement cafe outside the building. They're responsible for maintaining the cleanliness and appearance of the area, ensuring that all furniture is removed outside opening hours and the space has returned to its original condition. The council's cleansing team also attends the area daily, and there are no current concerns regarding accessibility on the street.
Simon Richardson reporting there about the Conister Arms. Now, the two MHKs for Onchan have hit back at the local authority after it decided to cancel its quarterly meetings due to two board members being civil servants. Rob Callister, who's the chair of the Public Services Commission, says he's extremely disappointed at the decision, whilst fellow MHK Julie Edge says she would like to see them reinstated as a meeting rather than a surgery. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to them both.
When I've actually heard those comments, the first thing I did was contact OHR. And as far as I understand, there is nothing stopping elected members, both as a commissioner or a councillor, actually sitting in meetings with their national politicians. There is, as far as I'm aware, and I did have a look myself this morning, I cannot find anything within the civil servant code, but I would be more than welcome to engage with both of those local representatives in Onchan who feel they may be conflicted. We live in a small island where we have to manage conflicts all the time, but if we are to deliver the core services that the people of Onchan want, then we need to engage fully with our local commissioners, you know, and that to me is more important than anything else. So if those two commissioners genuinely believe there is a conflict, then they should provide me with the relevant section of the civil servant code, because I cannot see it myself. So in my eyes, and I have checked with OHR, there is nothing stopping a local commissioner who happens to work for the Isle of Man government engaging fully with national politicians.
It's really disappointing, and obviously I normally attend most of the meetings, but disappointing that come to that conclusion. I didn't appreciate that they were going to look at changing the quarterly meetings. I thought it was just joint meetings with regards to the commissioners and surgery type things. So it is disappointing. I think it's really important that MHKs keep those local connections and any queries. And, you know, I've done an awful lot of support with some of the commissioners and the CEO with regards to some of the legislation and some of the proposals that have been put forward by Mr. Hooper recently. I immediately, if I see anything like that on the Tim Ward order paper, go to the clerk and go to the commissioners that are open to MHKs contacting them, discuss it with them and see if there's anything we can do. If they need something amended and things, that's how you should work with your local authorities. So it's disappointing.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
There's a handful of things to make you aware of this evening. We'll start in Douglas. The traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road for bus stop improvement works, and a short stretch of Finch Road is closed for sewer work. Temporary lights on the Ballamota south of the Shoulder Road for tree works, and over in Ballasalla, temporary lights on the St Mark's Road near the Fildraw Road turn for gas works. And across in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Bowring Road near Windsor Road and Coburg Road for groundworks. Let's take a look at the steam packet. I'm not seeing any issues there. The Mananan was fixed earlier this morning, you may remember that, and it's back in operation, due to be in Liverpool in around about half an hour's time. And the Manxman expected to be back in Douglas at 6 o'clock. Let's take a quick look at the airport now, and everything was looking green on my screen, so all looking good on that front.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
This Sunday, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show live from Metal Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9pm for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday the 3rd of August from 7pm at Metal Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Flocking to the sea.
Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more.
Crowds of people wait for me.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Be really fun, that the chill show over at the Meta Lounge in Peel on Sunday. I think I might go along, actually. I've never been to Ibiza, but I'm told it's kind of very Ibiza vibe, so who knows, I might head on down there and have a couple of drinks. Before that, though, members of the Great North Air Ambulance were on the island today, engaging with the community and holding talks with senior leaders in March. The charity renegotiated its contract with Manx Care and announced it would need to raise £124,000 in order to continue its work here. Since then, £54,000 has been raised locally. Interim Chief Executive Joe Garcia says the pre-hospital emergency critical care treatment that's provided is absolutely vital.
We're here to demonstrate that GNAS is committed to the community. We're here to share some of our exciting developments around what we're planning to do, in particular around modernising our aircraft fleet, and share that with all of the stakeholders on the Isle of Man.
Since our last interview in April, that's about four months ago, the service has responded to about six calls.
That's right. So far, from three road traffic collisions, two assaults, and one traumatic cardiac arrest.
When the news was announced about needing the fundraising and things like that, did you guys notice the reaction from the island?
Absolutely. We picked that up from certainly the social media activity that was going on. We definitely picked up the support, and in reciprocating that support, that's why we have, you know, stepped up our fundraising profile by employing somebody on the aisle, and we're here to make sure that we foster those engagements with those senior leaders to let them know of the support we can bring.
That 54,000 figure, is that solely collections from the island?
Yeah,
that's
solely from residents on the Isle of Man. We have significant contribution from the Peel charity shop, so that's 54,000 solely from residents on the Isle so far.
That's a Great North Air Ambulance Interim Chief Executive Joe Garcia speaking to Chanel Suku there. We'll take a look at the sport in just a moment.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Well, FC Isle of Man has travelled to Merseyside today to take on St Helens in the NWCFL Premier Division. Boss Paul Jones says his team has had no preparation for tonight's game after their opening round draw with Litherland Remeke on Saturday.
We've asked the lads to recover well after the weekend, and then, you know, we won't see them until we meet at the airport on Tuesday. So, you know, we've kind of worked through pre-season to these two games, and then because of not being in the FA Cup, we get a weekend off this weekend, which means we have like a 10 10-day periods to maybe focus on some of the things we want to improve on ahead of our next home game against Glossop. And then, you know, we've got another game against Earlham, I think, on a Tuesday. And at the moment, we've got another few days off to focus on things again. So, you know, we're kind of approaching these two game blocks, really, and then taking stock of things, seeing where we're at, and then hopefully getting a good bit of time on the training ground to work with the individuals and the group to improve things where they need to be improved, and also kind of keep working on the stuff that's working well. So yeah, it's a case of, you know, not too many changes in terms of the squad from Saturday. That group had played, you know, a lot of minutes in pre-season and trained the most in pre-season, you know, in most cases. So we know they're match fit. So they go again Tuesday, and it's a case of maybe tweaking a couple of things just in terms of how we think St Helens are going to approach the game. You know, St Helens would have made a number of changes from the team that we played against this time last season, and it was just one of those mad games that, you know, certainly the first game that finished 5-4, you just don't see those games very often. And I think both teams probably went away thinking that they could have won the game and couldn't believe some of the goals they conceded. So yeah, I'm expecting a very different game tomorrow, certainly in terms of our levels of performance in the first half in particular. You know, it's largely like, you know, let's go and give a good account of ourselves and see where we're up to, and then we can kind of review and go again for a 10-day training block ahead of the game against Glossop.
Well, that's manager Paul Jones speaking there ahead of their clash with St Helens over in the Mersey. Good luck to the Ravens. Well, it's been just over a week since this year's Island Games came to a close in Orkney, and already attention is turning to the next event in 2 years' time. It's been announced which sports will feature at the Games in the Faroe Islands in 2027. With more details is Rob Pritchard.
Organisers of the 2027 event have announced 14 sports will make up the schedule, which is an increase on the 12 sports which were on offer in Orkney this year. Along with a slightly larger programme, there will also be several changes to what will be on offer compared to the games which took place this summer. When compared to Orkney 2025, dropping out of the schedule for 2 years' time will be golf, lawn bowls, squash and sailing. Coming in will be basketball, judo, shooting, table tennis, tennis and volleyball and beach volleyball. Those new additions will join a schedule which will also feature archery, athletics, cycling, football, gymnastics, swimming and triathlon. It means it'll be a quick return for the likes of basketball, shooting, table tennis and tennis, which last featured in Guernsey in 2023. However, the likes of volleyball and judo will be making comebacks after long absences. By the time the 2027 games come around, it'll be the first time in a decade that volleyball has taken place, having last featured in Gotland in 2017. It's also been a lengthy hiatus for judo, which hasn't been involved since 2019 in Gibraltar.
Very interesting. I used to do judo, actually, but naturally would stand absolutely no chance against some of those people. Now, the Isle of Man FA says England's recent success at the UEFA Women's Euros will help the growth of girls' football on the island. Speaking to Darren Timpson, Women's Development Officer Jamie Lee Ferns explains how the FA can take advantage of the Lioness's success.
Show the children and their parents the benefit of playing football. I know that on a whole, since the last Euros, so since 2022, girls playing football more than doubled in the UK. But for our actual figures over here, it's not something we can actually look back on, like registration-wise. But as far as teams go and clubs who have girls playing there, that's definitely increased. We will put on more tournaments. That's in the plan anyway, but then also work with the clubs to try and encourage the clubs to have more opportunities for girls to play.
Are there many clubs on the island that offer football for young girls? Are you looking to be able to get a young girl league, I suppose? Is there a plan in mind?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a few clubs that already offer girls football and girls only teams. We're probably looking at about a third of the island's clubs offer girls football. As for the leagues themselves, they're integrated within our development league and our junior league. So the girls teams have the options of playing other girls teams. It doesn't have to be mixed if they don't want that. And at the minute, we're looking into just that gap between the junior football and the senior football. So just bridging that under 16 gap. So that age 14 and 15 girls is to keep them involved. We don't have the numbers there yet to have a league of their own, but hopefully if we can retain the players that we've got, you know, we're thinking five-a-side leagues, girls-only teams entering the mixed league, that kind of thing. If we can retain them girls, and hopefully by next season or the season after, we should have that full pathway of a full girls league right the way through from junior level up into the senior women's game.
Women's Development Officer Jamie Lee of Ferns speaking to Darren Timpson there. We'll speak to Darren in just a moment, but former TT winner Lee Johnston says he currently has no plans to return to road racing. The rider's been giving an update on the situation during the latest episode of his vlog on YouTube.
So a few things I mentioned earlier, obviously this is the elephant in the room a little bit about the road racing, and it's something I get asked all the time. So just to try and explain a little bit, my boss Chris, obviously the guy that owns the team, has two young sons that race also in the team and stuff, and I fully understand his decision that the last thing he wants to do is introduce them guys to the world of road racing. Don't get me wrong, he loves it and he thinks it's really cool and everything, but to have your kids doing it is a totally different thing. So therefore, that was how this whole situation of me being in the team that wasn't a road race team come about. I joined because I thought it was the best place for me, getting to bring my mechanics and stuff with me, and I believe it still is, that is still the case. Now that we're getting more involved in the team and stuff, I'm really enjoying it. I'm making plans, but I know this is going to be like, people are going to say, oh well, why don't you now, you know, if you're in doing more stuff, or decide to go back road racing and stuff. That's just not the case, and it's not going to happen. So I really appreciate people asking me all the time about that and stuff. So unless something drastically different happens next year with a different team or something, which is not looking likely at all, that will be the case. So I didn't want to do like this whole big spiel about retiring from road racing or anything, because that's not what is happening. I'm just not going, and that's it. That's the end of the conversation pretty much. So I just wanted to maybe try and clear some of them things out, and I appreciate so much people saying nice things to me about, oh, it'd be great to see you here, all them things. So thank you very much for that. But yeah, this is the situation we're in right now, and this is what we're doing, and I am genuinely happy. I'm happy that I'm still able to ride a motorbike and race a motorbike and hopefully get back to the front.
Lee Johnston speaking there on his YouTube channel. Well, let's return to Darren Timpson. We can now say hello to him. Fastamai, Darren, what can you tell us?
Fastamai, yeah, starting with cycling, and Ben Swift has continued his appearance at the Ethias Tour de Wallonie in Belgium. The Ineos Grenadiers rider sits 96th in the general classification as the fourth stage comes to an end this evening. His best result came yesterday, where he finished in 36th after two finishes below 100th place. Tomorrow will be the final day of the event as the peloton races in Bertrix. And in athletics, Isle of Man's David Malarkey completed a silver medal double at the World University Games in Germany. Competing in Bochum, Malarkey finished in second place in the men's 5,000 metres with a time of 15 minutes 2 seconds 0.39 on Saturday at the Lohoreide Stadion. The Magsman was narrowly close to winning the event, as he was less than a second behind French winner Arthur Chavez. Kenya's Collins Kiprotich completed the top three. That was the second medal for Malarkey, who took second place in the final of the men's 10,000 metre track race on Wednesday last week. He finished just over a second behind race winner Brian Musau of Kenya.
I'll tell you what, there's some interesting pronunciations in there. Did you have to practice today?
I did, and I don't think it worked.
No, it didn't work. Well, but it is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, especially the Lohoreide Stadion.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try it. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Stick around, Simon and Kiri, along with you for Countryside up next. Kiris Kinley in the hot seat from 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. He'll be followed by John Barker's Folk Show, and then Rhianna Evans taking you through to tomorrow with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.